This episode is brought to you by the Arvada Center, because they're kicking off their summer concert series in June. Relax under the stars at the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater and take in acts like Melissa Etheridge, Big Richard, Tower of Power, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, The Spin Doctors, and so much more. Concerts are scheduled for June through September. You can find a whole schedule of events and get your tickets today at arvadacenter.org. That's arvadacenter.org. Today on CityCast Denver. Our state lawmakers returned to the Capitol last week to kick off another year of bickering, grandstanding, and hopefully policymaking. So what should Denverites be watching for this session? Brian Eason is a politics reporter with the Colorado Sun, and he's on today to break it down. Today is Tuesday, January 16th. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Brian Eason, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So decorum, or a lack thereof, seems to be a big theme at the state capitol this year. What was the vibe of the room these first days of the session?
On day one, right? Like usually the first thing that lawmakers do is they say, here's all the great things we're going to do for you this year, right? Like here's our promises, here's our agenda. They did some of that, certainly. But what was interesting was that in a lot of the opening day speeches, there was a lot of like, you know, let's be respectful to one another. Let's be kind. You know, let's respect other people's viewpoints. Felt very much like, you know, kindergarten lessons.
I was just going to say, coming back to class after something has happened and the teacher like resetting the stage. It didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't just that one incident. Like, at what point did this work get so disrupted?
I wasn't here during last legislative session, but, you know, I understand that there was quite a bit that went on then in terms of some offensive remarks being made by lawmakers. And then during the special session, there was a little bit of disruptive behavior. There were some protesters in the gallery, and there's a lawmaker, State Representative Elizabeth Epps, who actually went up to the gallery and started interrupting a Republican lawmaker when he was speaking. And so it was just kind of a lot of little incidents maybe that have kind of bubbled up into something that folks view as a problem.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about the other, there were some lawmakers that sort of decided to step down or not even be in their positions anymore. And I don't think it's directly related to the incident you're talking about, but just sort of a general tenor of
Sure. And I think some of that is just politics in 2024, right?
Totally.
Like, I mean, we've seen it with the Trump Supreme Court stuff recently, right? Like, there were Supreme Court justices that were getting death threats, and death threats have just become and vitriol and, you know, angry constituent emails, getting cursed out on Twitter, like all of this stuff, all the name calling has just become more and more embedded in our politics, I think. And so it's natural for, I think, you know, some lawmakers to be looking around going like, is this really what I want to do with my life? Is this how I want to spend my time, right? And so, you know, I think for a lot of people, you know, it started to outweigh what they view as the benefits of public service.
Sure, sure. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's sort of the pressure from inside as well as outside of chambers. You know what I mean? It's not just the sort of clashing that lawmakers are feeling within themselves, but it's also maybe pressure from constituents or, like you said, sort of this vitriol and like aggressive behavior towards lawmakers.
I think one thing kind of influences the other too, right? If that's what you hear from your constituents, you know, maybe you start employing that own rhetoric and how you talk to people one on one, right? Like,
sure.
I think it all kind of builds on itself.
Yeah, totally. So I want to talk a little bit about the substance of the protest that you mentioned, because it's not just like a symbolic moment. I think since 2016, Colorado has had a law on the books blocking the Public Employees Retirement Association from investing in companies that boycott Israel. And on the other side, Representative Epps proposed a bill to block SNAP benefits from being used on Israeli products. Do you think that we'll see real policy discussions about this topic?
I think you will see people trying to have real policy discussions about this topic. I think it's probably unlikely that we're going to actually see majorities in the legislature wants to take this up, right? I mean, sure. I think a lot of folks in the state legislature view it as something that's divisive and they don't want to deal with it, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you'll certainly see efforts to make this a topic of discussion.
For sure. And I'm thinking, like, even if it's not part of a actual move for legislation, it's still a conversation in a public space that's a little bit of a platform.
Oh, definitely.
So let's talk about some other big themes of this session. We know Democrats are basically in control. What are the Dems excited about this year?
The biggest thing we're hearing over and over again from Democrats is what we're going to do about housing costs. You know, the governor is going to revive a lot of the stuff he was talking about last session when it comes to things like land use, right? Like, how much control should local governments have over what their neighborhoods look like, right? I mean, I think that there was kind of a reflexive backlash to that last year from local governments. But by the same token, you know, there's a lot of examples around the state where local governments have been a problem in actually getting more housing built. And not just housing in general, right? Denser housing, right? Like, not just single family lots that take up a lot of land and don't house as many people as townhouses or apartments and things like that. So I think there's definitely going to be a push around land use. This year, it looks like Democrats have learned a bit of a lesson from last year, which is, you know, don't make local governments angry and don't make like HOAs angry, right? And so one thing that they're talking about quite a bit is moving away from kind of blanket restrictions, blanket mandates, and moving towards things like incentives, right? Like, they haven't exactly said what that's going to look like yet, but they are talking about incentives for things like multifamily housing near transit or accessory dwelling units.
I think that's what Polis was really trying to do, right? He said already this year, one of his biggest priorities, if not his biggest, is housing, specifically to increase housing density in urban areas. And as you mentioned, he sort of attempted a more sweeping reform last year that really didn't jive with a lot of local smaller municipalities, or at least municipalities outside of Denver that said, hey, wait a minute, we don't want you telling us what to do. But we know he's going to try again. Like, he's not done with this. Do you have a sense of what Polis's strategy is to make some bigger land use things happen?
So I think the biggest thing you hear from both the governor's office and lawmakers is they want to push forward a lot of the same ideas, but they want to do them in like little bite-sized pieces, right? So we'll have one bill on accessory dwelling units, one bill on occupancy limits, one bill on land use. They think that that'll be a little bit more palatable to get across the finish line. You know, we saw this a little bit with Proposition HH on last year's ballot. Like, putting something in a proposal for everyone to like is also a way to have something for everyone to hate. Especially in legislative politics, it just becomes really, really difficult to get really big legislation that does a lot of different things through the entire legislature. And the other thing that he's done is there has been a lot more discussions with stakeholders, with local governments, with housing groups, advocacy organizations. There's just been a lot more discussions happening over the last few months that I don't think were happening last legislative session. The bill kind of came out fairly late in the session and people were a little bit surprised by it. And there wasn't a lot of wiggle room to kind of have those kind of good faith negotiations, right?
This episode is brought to you by Pine Melon, the farmer's market delivered. Pine Melon is a next generation grocery delivery app that partners with over 200 farmers, ranchers, and producers in Colorado to help make fresh, locally sourced foods available to the Denver community at fair prices. Get high quality meats, eggs, and dairy from small local farms, fresh baked breads from local bakeries, and more, as well as all of your favorite pantry staples. Best part is, Pine Melon offers same-day delivery to Denver and soon Boulder within a 2-hour window, no subscription necessary. Save time in your busy schedule and get fresh and healthy groceries delivered right to your door. Join the movement and support local today. Use promo code CityCastDenver for $75 off your first delivery at pinemelon.com. That's pinemelon.com. when we talk about new housing being built, it often means apartments. And this is a part of this conversation too, is building new denser apartment buildings, especially here in Denver, is happening. But renters, this is what the renter conversation is about. Is there anything that you think renters should be watching for this legislative session?
Yeah, so there's a few bills that you're going to see come back from last year. One of the biggest is this notion of just cause evictions. And the idea behind that is landlords can't just kick somebody out without like a really good reason, right? Like the renter violated their lease or what have you. This bill would kind of apply to month-to-month leases too. So as long as you're still paying, you can stay in your home. A lot of what renters say happens is landlords will effectively evict them even without filing an eviction notice by raising rent disproportionately, or you know, not repairing things that they should be repairing. And so this is a bill sponsored by Representative Mabry, among others, that would make Colorado one of, like, I don't know, maybe a dozen states that has these sort of protections. Another bill that I'm not actually sure we're going to see come back, but has certainly been discussed in the past, is one around allowing local governments to institute rent control. We were talking to the governor a couple weeks ago. He came out against that bill. Last year, I believe it did pass the House, but didn't make it through the Senate. So I'm not sure if we're going to see that one come back this year or not. The other new idea I've heard that is kind of interesting, I believe it was Senator Chris Hansen was talking about creating some sort of tax credit for renters, right? They created one last year that only applies to senior citizens who are renters. But, you know, one thing that's gotten lost in all this discussion about property tax cuts is, well, what about renters? Like, renters,
right?
Renters' housing costs have gone up way more than homeowners.
And they can't benefit from a property tax cut because they don't own their property.
Exactly. So that's one idea that's been floated that I think is new and one to watch this year.
That's interesting, because I know rent control was so controversial as this idea, and I know that Representative Mabry has continued to talk about it, but the tax credit thing is an interesting, another approach to the same issue, kind of.
It is, yeah. And it's one that, you know, we've seen over and over again, right? Like tax credits, tax cuts, that just seems to be a little bit more politically palatable in Colorado for a variety of reasons.
So the other thing Polis has always said about his ideas on land use reform is that public transit is a necessary part of that. But it sounds like it's going to be an even bigger focus this year. Back in December, he was talking about reforming RTD even. Is there anything that we should be watching when it comes to transit?
Yeah, so there's a big push this year around Front Range Rail. There's been some talk from some Democratic leaders in the Senate about new fees, possibly new taxes, something that will actually kind of help really fund an expansion of transit. And we also have a lot of federal money out there for transit. Democrats have been talking quite a bit about how this is the year where we're really going to see some transit investments. So we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's something, as a lifelong Coloradan, we have continued to talk about for a long, long time. And I know Front Range Rail is a huge theme for the governor too.
It is, definitely. And that's one of those things that, like you said, it's been talked about a very long time. A lot of people feel like they've been paying for Front Range Transit forever and without actually seeing it come to fruition. So yeah, the trick will be getting that across the finish line in a way that's people feel is fair and the right price, right? Because if you're someone who feels like you've already been paying for this and now you're going to have to go back and pay more just to see it happen, it'll be a difficult discussion, I'm sure.
And I just want to say for listeners, if you haven't heard, our friend of the show, Nate Miner from CPR, did this great series, a podcast called Ghost Train, that explains a lot of the voting and the funding and where things did or didn't go. Because it's a very long story. But we've talked about Democrats a lot, and which we should, because they control both chambers in the governor's office. But the state GOP is kind of in turmoil right now, and it's pretty dramatic. What are you expecting to see from the Republican minority at the Capitol this session, if anything?
It's interesting, right? Because during the governor's speech today, he gave his State of the State address, and there were a number of things that Republicans were the only people standing up and clapping during. And that was things like, as you can imagine, when the governor talks about things like income tax cuts and property tax cuts. So I think you are going to see Republicans pushing for tax cuts, the extent to which you see any Republicans sign on to Democratic bills involving tax cuts. I think it's going to really depend on the specifics, right? We just saw during the special session, that special session had over $100 million of tax cuts, right? And you didn't see really any Republicans vote for it. So tax policy is going to be one thing to look for. Historically, we've also seen a lot of bipartisanship around school finance in Colorado, and I think you're going to see that again this year. This is going to be the first year since the Great Recession that they're actually going to fully fund schools under the state constitution. And I also think you'll see it quite a bit in other budget discussions, right? So the Joint Budget Committee has been going over the governor's proposal right now, and you have Democrats and Republicans united in hating quite a bit of it, I would say, particularly when it comes to higher education. The Joint Budget Committee feels that Colorado has been underfunding higher education for a very long time. We are probably bottom five, I would say, in state support for higher education, which has led to really high tuition in the state. And so I think you're going to see Republicans and Democrats kind of work towards pushing for more higher education funding than maybe what you're seeing from Governor Polis.
I mean, you have a front row seat to legislation, and a lot of this doesn't really make it out of the House or, you know, make it to the public. There's so much they're working on. Is there anything that you're interested in watching this year, like interesting debates, interesting issues that surprised you?
I think one thing that's really going to be interesting to watch is what happens around climate change. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, there was this there was a bill that I think it was in 2019 that directed state regulators to start taking climate change and health and environmental concerns into consideration. You know, if say an oil and gas company is applying for a permit, well, since 2019, I think there's maybe been one or two times where the state has actually rejected a permit request based on that criteria. And so there's been a big push from environmental groups to go back to the state and say, hey, we really need to take health and environmental concerns into account when we're talking about oil and gas permitting. So I think that's going to be a really interesting fight.
It's one of those issues that sort of underlies other issues, right? We're talking about transit. We're talking about housing, where it's built. You know, this like near transit hubs. Those kinds of things are all underlying that is partially environmental concerns.
Definitely, and you know, I think you're going to also see a big push to really talk about how we can address communities that are kind of disproportionately affected by a lot of these things. The Democratic Black Caucus has been talking about doing a study on racial disparities in Colorado and the ways in which that like government in particular has contributed to those disparities. You know, obviously that's just a study, right? But I think it does provide some ammunition for folks who think that the state needs to be doing more on things like, you know, economic disparities, educational disparities, and so forth when it comes to people of color.
It's interesting to me because it does underlie so many issues, but we don't necessarily even hear folks talking about it every year. Like, sometimes it's in vogue and sometimes it's not, you know? Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a legislative aide to slide into our DMs, rate the show wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our morning newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you later.